All right, folks, here we are, another week, another Sunday, week 13. We're getting closer and closer to the postseason. In six more Sundays, we will know the 14 teams that will go for the Lombardi Trophy. But obviously, right now, it's still a crapshoot of who those 14 teams will be. And obviously, it's going to be interesting to see what today's matchups will lead to. But obviously, we won't waste our time here. We're going to go right into our unanimous picks. There are a couple here. Obviously, the first one will be, like I said, who you call the loser, one of your losers, Carson Wentz. He goes to Houston today to play the Houston Texans, and that should be an easy win. We hope.
Yeah, that should be an easy win for the Colts, but this is also an important game. Not necessarily the Colts, every game's important because they're still trying to get in the playoffs, but this is an important game for the Eagles because if Carson Wentz so far has played 98% of the snaps for the team, and just if he plays 100% of the snaps today, this would put them past what should be the 75% marker for the season. So, really, if he plays every snap, the Eagles get that first round pick.
Yeah, the problem is now with where the Eagles are at. They're almost, it's getting a little bit, and we'll talk about it here later, it's getting a little bit tougher to think that they're going to get three first rounders unless they trade one of them, but it's becoming more and more possible that they're not going to get a top 10. None of those first rounders are going to be a top 10 pick just because Miami has gotten hot again. They've gotten hot over the last couple of weeks. So Indianapolis, their first round pick's going to probably be between 13 and 18 at this point. So just something to think about. And Dolphins, like I said, they're rolling here. So that's our first unanimous pick.
When you really look at when the season started, I mean, the Dolphins obviously have started off poorly. But before the season started, you know, we were expecting the Dolphins and the Colts to be in the playoff race. So theoretically, everyone was more so expecting both of those first-round picks to be mid-first-rounders. So, you know, it's working out how we expected, except the Eagles are, not playing as well as I expected, because I predicted them to win the division with 10 wins, but they do have a shot still at 10 wins, but, you know, the Eagles are playing a little bit better, so right now they're borderline top 10 with their own pick.
All right. Moving on with the unanimous picks, like I said, I'm shocked that this is a unanimous pick, even though it makes sense on paper. The Rams have lost their last three. They went without a win in the entire month of November. But today they get 13 and they host the Jacksonville Jaguars here later today.
Yeah, it should be an easy win.
And this one you may disagree, but it makes sense for all intents. This is the manager special unanimous pick. Arizona gets back Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins after a month dealing with nagging injuries. They are in the Windy City today playing the Chicago Bears. It makes sense because Arizona is unbeaten on the road. They've won every game on the road by double digits, and they're playing the struggling Bears team today.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears are a joke, so, you know, that should be a win for the Cardinals too.
All right, well, there you go. All right, we're going to start, like I said, it's hard to say that this matchup is not a unanimous pick, but it's not. Obviously, for the Vikings, everything is you know, they're fighting for their playoff lives, it seems like, for the rest of the year, like the Eagles and several other teams in this NFC, this tight NFC. They didn't help their cause last week against the 49ers, and now today they go play Detroit. Now, obviously, why would this be a matchup? Because the last time these two teams met, Detroit should have won. And Vikings got away with it on a field goal at the end. So, like I said, it's a critical matchup for the Vikings. But, hey, Detroit, as bad as they are, might be the most motivated of the worst teams we've ever seen. Because Dan Campbell has done a good job, even though, yeah, they don't win. He's gotten them in position to win more than you would think of a bad team. So go ahead with this potential upset.
Yeah, well, the bottom line, man, the Lions have played fairly tough for most of the year, but they just lose every game, and this is going to be no different. They're not winning this game. Dalvin Cook should be out today. I haven't seen the final injury report on that, but he's supposed to be out. But for a big game out of Alexander Mattison, their backup running back. So if you happen to fantasy, start him, obviously. Otherwise, Vikings will win this game. Lions might hang around for the first half, but the Vikings will pull away in the second. So Vikings win. Final score is going to be, I'm going to say 32-20.
Well, like I said, I mean, Detroit has been fighting hard. You know, mostly every game this year, but maybe two or three, they've been very, very much right there with the teams, no matter if they're on their level or not. Obviously, for the Vikings, you know, they're so used to playing close battles. That's what they do. They don't play any differently than what they've been playing teams all year. Obviously, this matchup today is going to be interesting because, like I say, if you tell me Dalvin Cook is out, which he probably is with the shoulder injury he suffered last week, then obviously, you know, Mattson's going to get the carries. And like I said, Jared Goff, you know, we'll see what happens here today. He's still searching for his first win without Sean McVay as his head coach. But like I said, I think this is going to be a tighter matchup than anybody would think. Like I said, I think, you know, like I said, Kirk Cousins, like you say, your original loser, may be that way today if he doesn't be careful. So I'm going to go with the Vikings, but I'm going to go slightly close to think that this could be a battle. This could be a battle today. So the Vikings win a close one, and the final score, 28-26. All right, we're going to go to a matchup down here. Like I said, we were mentioning about the Eagles draft picks. They're guaranteed, even though they're still fighting for the Colts one, they are guaranteed to have the Dolphins one come April. But, like I said, not too long ago, it was the number 2 overall pick. Right now, it's the number 10 overall pick. And it may continue to fall as the rest of the year goes on. The Dolphins are fighting their way back into a playoff chance in the AFC. The Giants are coming off a shocking win against us last week, but it's not going to be easy today. They got to go down there, and your boy Mr. Danny, is not out there. I should say Danny Tanner, but that's a different show. But Mike Glennon, the veteran, Mike Glennon will get the start today. Danny Dimes has a bad neck, so long neck Mike Glennon takes over. Big matchup here, at least for playoff implications, or at least to stay in the playoff race. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, like we said earlier, just before, the Dolphins have turned their season around. Tua's playing better as of late, and the Miami D is pretty good overall. The Giants, you know, even if Daniel Jones was playing, it wouldn't matter. The Giants are garbage, and they'd lose this game regardless. So throw in Mike Glennon into the mix, and it's just going to be even worse. Miami gets another victory here. Easy. Final score, 27-10.
Yeah, this is going to be not much of a matchup. Like I said, the Giants got lucky last week. We played a very crappy game, and they took advantage of it. But obviously, Dolphins are playing much better compared to where they were about a month ago. They're obviously a team that could, from a 1-7 situation start, could potentially put themselves into a potential wild card spot. But like I said, still a long shot at best for them. But obviously, today, you know, it's going to be warm, about almost 80 degrees down there near South Beach, there in Coral Gables. Should be a battle, should be interesting. And I agree with you, Miami should win pretty comfortably here today. So I'm going with the Dolphins and the final score, 33-16. All right, we're going to go to the West Coast next. A late matchup, or at least for here is a late matchup. But obviously, like I said, these are two divisional rivals, and it's hard to, you know, and you and I, we've been doing this for a long time. We've never remembered seeing Russell Wilson in a bad spot, but things are not going well for the Seahawks. In the three games he's returned, they have not won. And obviously, we talked on Wednesday about teams, potentially dangerous playoff teams. The 49ers have that potential look, winners of four straight. And they're a big, and this is a big matchup for both teams. Basically, Russell Wilson could be reduced to spoiler very soon, but he could be a dangerous spoiler. Can he actually spoil San Francisco's losing streak and get back in the winning track here today? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, when it comes to gambling on games, you know, I have, like I said before, I have a few different rules that I put that I don't want to gamble on certain games. One rule that I have is I don't like to gamble on divisional rivalries. But for my lock of the week, I'm breaking my own rules this week. You know, I do it once in a while, and usually it doesn't work out well for me. But this matchup is too appealing for me to pass up. This is my lock of the week here. The Niners are favored by 3, only giving up 3 points to this horrible Seattle team. Seattle has lost 3 straight. They've lost 6 of the last 7. Meanwhile, San Francisco, after they had a rough part of the season, they've won 3 straight. They've won 4 of their last 5. They lost earlier in week 4. They lost to Seattle. I don't see them getting swept by Seattle, though. You know, they've had issues in Seattle, though. That's the one thing I can say about San Francisco that's negative this week. You know, they've lost 7 of their last 8 in Seattle. But this isn't the same Seahawks team. This isn't the same home field advantage that they've enjoyed in the past. The Seahawks are just 1-5 at home this year. So, you know, they obviously haven't been successful at home. I don't really see that as a big deal. The only other thing I can say for Seattle that's a little bit off is Deebo Samuel's going to be out today, and he's been a beast all year. But I'm looking for a big game out of Brandon Ayuk. I'm looking for a big game out of the running back, Elijah Mitchell. And I don't think 3 points is going to be an issue for them to overcome when it comes to the spread. So San Francisco covers the spread easy. This will be a blowout win. Russell Wilson, he's obviously back, but he's been horrible. He's definitely not playing at 100%. So, you know, nonetheless, San Francisco wins this game. They cover the spread. They win in easy fashion, too. So, Niners win. Final score, 34-16.
Yeah, this is not good for Seattle. The last, you know, like I said, you would think that they would provide a spark, you know, with Russell Wilson come back. It's been the complete opposite. And pretty much with Russell Wilson, the end is near in Seattle. I think he kind of knows it, and I think Pete Carroll kind of knows it. I've been told from some sources that his job is at stake too. So there could be a major rehaul of this team in the offseason. And obviously that would be the end of one of the best eras, probably the best era in franchise history between those two because of the success they had. They won a championship, went to another Super Bowl. So obviously an era is coming to an end there. For the 49ers, like I said, I also heard that the Jimmy Garoppolo, this is his last season here. He's going to be traded, and they're going to go on with that kid that they drafted. I forgot his name. Damn it.
Trey Lance.
They're going to move forward with him starting in 2022. So, like I said, but obviously the 49ers have something to fight for, a potential playoff spot. You know, it's a long shot they're going to win this division. So, obviously, they have to go on and find a way to get one of those 3 wild card spots. They're in the 6th spot right now, and and I think they're going to win pretty comfortably here today. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout, but like I said, Russell Wilson's still Russell Wilson. We saw even on Monday night, he nearly pulled a rabbit out of his hat at the end of that game that they were dominated on. So I'm going to go with the 49ers as well. But I know I have to hold my breath to think that they'll just go in there and do what they have to do. So, 49ers win, and the final score, 30-19. All right, we're going to go to another quietly hot team, and you're not going to like what I'm about to tell you next. It's an NFC East team, the Washington football team. Obviously, all of a sudden, they've won three straight, and they're going out to the Raiders today, to Sin City. Like I said, things are obviously going well for Washington here the last couple of weeks. Your boy Heineken, as you call him, he's turning that green beer up and turning it up. Maybe it's not alcoholic, but it's alcoholic enough if he's winning games. But anyway, the Raiders coming off a disturbing win on Thanksgiving, where the refs played as much of a role as anything that happened on the field. But obviously today is not good for them, because they will not have their best weapon, Darren Waller. He is out today. So, critical matchup. Both teams fighting for playoff positioning. Obviously for the Raiders, they still have a slim but outside chance to still win the AFC West. But a big matchup here later today. Go ahead.
Okay, Washington's been playing better lately. They've actually crept up into the playoff race. If the season ended today, they'd actually be the seventh seed. So they're playing better. This week, though, they're going to have to run the ball. Heineken's a bum, let's face it, and he's going up against a team in Vegas that, you know, they're not a great defense, but one thing that they are good at is pressuring the quarterback. Max Crosby, they lead the NFL with 71 quarterback pressures this season. And they also have Yannick Ngakoue in Vegas, who's 11th in the NFL in quarterback pressures with 46. So I think Washington's going to be looking to keep the ball on the ground, pound the rock, play good defense, and hope to come out of Vegas with a victory. And I think they'll be successful in that. That Washington defense will do a good job against Derek Carr and cause a couple turnovers, keep the Vegas offense in check, and Washington will score enough points to get a victory. But it will be a closer game. But I'm going with the Redskins here in a battle of field goals. So Redskins with the victory. Final score, 19-16.
Like I said, these two teams obviously are fighting for the postseason, fighting for a wild card spot. Washington has won their last three, and they're now currently in the last spot in the playoffs in the NFC. But like I said, it's going to be tough today. This is a tough matchup. Obviously, the Raiders are coming, like I said, they're coming off an ugly win on Thanksgiving in Big D. And obviously, they're playing once again another NFC East team, but unfortunately they've struggled against the NFC East. Yeah, they beat the Eagles, but they lost to the Giants. So if Washington wins, then they'll split them this year. So they haven't had a lot of great success against this division this year, but we'll see what happens. But obviously Derek Carr is having a good year. He has Pro Bowl potential to be a Pro Bowler this year. But obviously, like I said, no Darren Waller, and that's not good. Obviously, this is a day where Hunter Renfrow, and does DeSean Jackson even have a big game or not, you know? But he's one-dimensional. He has to go for the home run in that situation. Like I said, this is going to be a battle today. Like I said, I mean, Heineke's doing what he's been doing. You know, he's not impressive, but team's winning, and he's not making stupid mistakes like an inexperienced quarterback normally does. Obviously, he kind of knows this is his team now. A few weeks ago, I thought he would have been benched for somebody else, but he survived that, and obviously they're going to ride with him moving forward. So at this point, I expect to be a battle. Unlike you, I think, I expect Washington to win, but I don't expect it to be a low-scoring battle. I think these guys are going to put up points. So I'm going to go with Washington in the points. Final score, 30-27.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go to a big matchup. I mean, it could be my intriguing matchup, but it's not. This matchup obviously is a big matchup. for playoff implications. For Tom Brady, like I said, he hasn't played well on the road this year for whatever reason. And they're on the road again today in the ATL. They're playing the Falcons, a team he's never lost to in 9 previous meetings. Obviously now division rival, his division rivals now. But a big matchup here, like I said, for the Falcons, they're still in this wild card chase, even though they're a long shot because of the tiebreakers. They don't own any. So this should be a very interesting matchup here this afternoon. But obviously, like I said, we'll see what happens here today. But Brady versus the Falcons could be a high-scoring game. Maybe not. We'll see. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this one, I mean, it's got implications for the Bucs in that the Bucs have the division pretty much locked up already, but they're looking for more than just the division. They're looking for the number one seed. So they got to win this game to keep up with the rest of the top teams in the NFC. The Falcons, meanwhile, like you said, they're trying to make it into the playoffs. They are what they are. They're not really a playoff-caliber team, but, you know, they've played better than most expected them to, especially after that Week 1 blowout loss to the Eagles. Everyone was expecting the Falcons to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. So, you know, they're not that bad, but they're also not good. And going up against Tampa, they just don't have the talent to keep up. Maybe briefly, they'll score some points early on, but as the game goes on, Tampa's just going to keep pulling further and further away, and Tampa wins in what's going to turn out to be a blowout. So, Tampa victory, Tom Brady, final score, I'm going to say 41-23.
Like I said, these two teams met in Week 2, and it was not even close. The Falcons got their ass whipped. Like I said, it's not like this team is a good team or not. I mean, the Falcons, obviously, as mediocre as this NFC is, that's why they're still in the playoff mix. But they really shouldn't be anywhere near a playoff spot. Obviously, it's not been a good year for Matt Ryan, and like I said, they don't have Calvin Ridley. Even though Cordero Patterson, I've heard his name a lot. He's become more than just a return guy. He's had a decent year. You know, he's put up some decent numbers. This team is still nowhere near a contender. Like I said, for Tampa, you know, like I said, for Brady, it's been a kind of a quiet week. It normally is. Antonio Brown is not going to be available for another couple of weeks. He's been fighting with an ankle injury since. He actually played the Eagles. He hasn't played since then, but obviously because of COVID situation and disrespecting the rules about the vaccine card or whatever, he's been suspended by the NFL. So he's out for another couple more weeks if he's healthy enough to return. But Gronk is back, and he did play well last week, and he should have a big game here today. Like I said, I expect him and Mike Evans to have a decent day. Leonard Fournette should run for a lot. Like I said, this is a game where the Bucs, like I said, we're into December. You know, normally November last year wasn't good to them, but then December came around and then they made their run. And I expect it to be eerily similar to that tier today. So Bucs are gonna go in there, win, and the final score 40-20. All right, we're gonna go to the Sunday night matchup. Like I said, an interesting Sunday night matchup. This wasn't originally a Sunday night matchup. It was flexed into it. But, hey, it's still a good matchup. It's the AFC West. Two teams still fighting for playoffs and situation. Like I said, Big Red, the Rocket. Like I said, we'll see what happens here tonight. The Broncos coming off a big win last week. Like I said, they're helping their situation. But, unfortunately, like I said, this is a tough matchup playing in Kansas City. Obviously, weather could be a problem. Could be very chilly. Could be wet. Could be who knows what the weather is going to be out there. But critical matchup for both teams. Like I said, the Chiefs trying to get back into this potential for a potential bye in the postseason. Like I said, as crazy as it is, the AFC, it wouldn't surprise me if the Chiefs win out and they take that one seed back. So, critical matchup here tonight, Sunday night. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah, like you said, the Chiefs are somehow in the race for the number one seed in the conference. And for them, if history is on their side in this matchup, Kansas City has won 11 straight versus Denver. Kansas City's coming off the bye week, which Andy Reid is 19-3 in his career following the bye. KC has won 4 straight games now, so they're coming in hot to begin with. So, you know, history favors the Chiefs right now. But there's some things that with Denver that don't sleep on them, man. Some people might look at this as negative, but I don't. Melvin Gordon's going to be out today. The reason why I think that's a positive is because Javonte Williams is just a better running back, and now he's going to get even more touches today. You look for them to pound the rock, you know, just like they did when they played Dallas a little bit earlier in the year. They just took control of the line of scrimmage, pounded the ball, controlled the clock, and played tough defense and just shut down the Cowboys. That's going to be their game plan again, except this time it's going to be the Javonte Williams show. And one thing that's good for Denver is the Denver defense going up against Patrick Mahomes. You know, Mahomes, his numbers are still good, but he's also thrown 11 interceptions this year. And, you know, he's going up against a really tough Broncos defense. And one thing with this Broncos D, they lead the NFL in red zone percentage, in red zone defense, with a 46.2%. So, you know, their defense is tough. They don't typically allow the big play, which is something that KC thrives on. And if they can keep the Chiefs from getting big plays, cause a couple turnovers, and play that tough red zone defense that they normally do, they got a shot in this one. And I'm looking at this game. I think it's going to be a similar type of game from when the Broncos played the Cowboys earlier in the year. I think they're going to control the clock, and that defense is going to win them this game. So I'm going with Denver with the upset here. Final score is going to be 27-24.
Interesting. Like I said, this should be interesting tonight. Like I said, these are two teams that, you know, like I said, they're going to figure out who has the advantage and who could win this division. But for Kansas City, this is a big matchup. About a few weeks ago, they played the Raiders on Sunday night in Vegas, and it was vintage Patrick Mahomes and Chiefs. They did what they normally do in their prime years and their dominant years, and guess what? And it resulted in a big victory. Like I said, Denver is obviously playing really well right now. They're coming off a big win against the Chargers last week. But like I said, against Andy Reid, they haven't had a lot of success, especially since 2016. They only have one win since then. And unfortunately, I can't really see what their chances are tonight if they're gonna beat Mahomes and company. I just think that when you look at all the scenarios here, this is a tough matchup. This is a tough environment. And Patrick Mahomes has had a lot of success against the Broncos in his career. You know, you think of get-back games. As I say, you know, the get-back means get a win after a loss. He's gotten a couple of them against them in the past. Like I said, the Broncos will bring it. I think it will be a close matchup for a while. I just think that for some reason, you know, you look at Kansas City, they do kind of struggle at home a little bit. They're just, you know, they do play closer games and stuff, but in the second half, I don't trust this team at the end. I just think that because Kansas City's at home, Mahomes, he's going to find Tyreek, he's going to find Kelsey. They're going to get after the secondary. You know, he might throw an interception or two, but he's not, you know, he's getting more smarter with the ball than he was earlier in the year when he was throwing a lot more interceptions. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs here. I think the Chiefs are going to get closer and closer back into the hunt for that one seed in the AFC and pretty much take back what they've lost. So Kansas City wins and final score, and I'll go with the score here, 29-20. All right. This would be my game of the week normally, this great matchup, but it's not. But it is a big matchup, and we have some breaking news. I told you on Wednesday that this could, I asked you one of my questions, would, for Big Ben, would this be the end? Well, I got word yesterday that it is. He is going, this is his last year in Pittsburgh. Now, is he going to retire yet? I don't know. That is still up in the air, but I would assume that he's possibly on that road to it. But that's being told. They have a big matchup here to fight for their playoff life. And obviously against the Ravens, big matchup here. Like I said, Lamar Jackson and them, they currently hold the one seed. But like I said, it's not been easy to play in Pittsburgh historically. Lamar played in Pittsburgh. He's had success, but not against Big Ben. He's never beaten Big Ben. So critical matchup here in this late afternoon. This is the Nance Romo game. This is the game that comes on after the Eagles-Jets here in Philly. So big matchup here in the late afternoon. Critical for both teams. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we've been hearing about Roethlisberger possibly retiring for years. So, I'll believe it when I see it. But we'll see. But either way, looking at this game, this is a matchup of two teams that both play well in close games. Baltimore 6-1 this year in games decided by 8 points or less, and Pittsburgh is 5-1-1 in one-score games this year. Now Pittsburgh, they've fallen off over the last few weeks. Obviously, they tied the Lions a few weeks ago. They got blown out by the Bengals. They just haven't been looking all that good lately. Baltimore, meanwhile, they haven't been looking all that great either, but they are a team that does turn it up in December. They're 13-2 in December since 2018. But like you said, Lamar Jackson has yet to beat Pittsburgh. And when you look at the matchup of Mike Tomlin versus Harbaugh, Tomlin has a slight lead in that series with a 15-14 record against Harbaugh. So, it's a back and forth battle rivalry here. But like you said, Lamar hasn't had great success against Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh needs this win more. I think they're going to come out focused. They're going to play tough. They're going to shut down Lamar and, I think Roethlisberger will have a good game. So I'm going to stick to the Steelers here in a tight one. Final score is going to be 30-26.
Like I said, this is a critical matchup. Well, Lamar has beaten the Steelers, but just not Big Ben when Big Ben started.
Yeah.
Not when Big Ben started. So that's last year in 2020. So like I said, but in both matchups, he should have beaten them. In both matchups last year, he should have beaten them. But somehow they were able to escape. And one of those games was because of COVID situation was pushed back to a midweek game, a Wednesday game last year, just before we came on air to do the look back. So, like I said, when you look at these two teams, like I said, they're going in different directions. Right now, if the season ended, Baltimore is the number one seed, but they aren't playing like that right now. They're barely escaping their matchups. And like I said, I mean, Lamar, we don't know how healthy he is. Like I said, he was out against the Bears a few weeks ago, so we don't know how healthy he really is. Like I said, Mark Andrews is obviously having a great year as a tight end. He could be a Pro Bowler, as their top tight end there. And obviously, we'll see what happens. But their pass defense is something that I'm concerned about the most because they're not very good. Wink Martindale is one of the best defensive guys in the league, or at least he has the best defensive personnel. And somehow, you got to get these corners back where they need to be at if they're going to make a legit run here next month for a potential Lombardi trophy. Like I said, the Steelers, the end is near for Big Ben and this team. They haven't played well the last several weeks. Like I said, they tied the as you said, they tied the Lions and then they got blown out by the Bengals last week of all teams. And maybe that's when Big Ben kind of finally looked in the mirror and realized that, you know, when you look at everybody in this division, everybody, all the quarterbacks are under 30 years old. All of them are under 30 years old. None of them is turning 30 until 2025. And Big Ben turns 40 next year. So he kind of knows that this is, this division is going in a different direction. It's not like it was in his better years and all that. So, like I said, this is a critical matchup. It's, to me, it's going to be a low-scoring, drag-out battle. Both defenses will show up. It will be a tight one. But I can't go against my Ravens here. I think they, you know, this is important for them because they know if they lose this game, they're going to lose the one seed. So to keep the one seed, they need to win, and I think they'll find a way. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be tight, but I'm going to think Lamar will make a run late, and a field goal will win it. So the Ravens get one on the road here. These two teams will meet again week 18 at the end of the year. So, like I said, critical game for those these two, but I'm going with the Ravens, my Ravens here. Final score 20-17. All right. We're going to go to my game of the week next. This is my game of the week. And why not? It's the battle of the 2020 quarterback from the draft, from the 2020 draft. Like I said, for Justin Herbert, you know, like I said, he's had a great year. He's put up great numbers. But the Chargers are hanging on by a thread in the playoff race. They have not played well. Losers of four of their last six. The Bengals, like I said, I told you the other day, could they win this division and actually break a losing drought in the postseason? Possibly yes, and potentially yes too. Critical matchup for both of these two teams. Young quarterbacks, playoffs staring down, will help their cause with the win today. My game of the week. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, like you said, the Chargers have lost four of their last six, and they're falling. They've been falling off lately. Part of it is that the offense hasn't been as good, especially Mike Williams. But an even bigger part of it is that defense is just not good. Brandon Staley was brought in as head coach because he was a really good defensive coordinator for the Rams last year. But he hasn't been able to turn around the Chargers defense so far. They have the worst run defense in the NFL. They're 31st in the NFL in third down conversion rate allowed. And they've allowed 24 or more points in seven straight games. So, you know, defensively they've been bad. And that's not good because Cincinnati's got a good offense. And one guy who's really coming on lately is Joe Mixon. He's had back-to-back 100-yard games. He's had three straight games with two or more touchdowns in each game. So, look for Cincinnati to get him the ball. And obviously with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, you know, they got a good passing attack, too. Now, Cincinnati, you know, they're a team that hasn't had a lot of success since you know, the late 80s. But, you know, they haven't made the playoffs since 2015. They're obviously fighting for a playoff spot. And one thing that's going to help them for the rest of the year is four of their last six games are at home. So, you know, this is an opportunity for them to get a big victory against a potential playoff team and get a tiebreaker against the Chargers. And I don't know, man. I think Herbert's going to have a good game, but I think that Chargers defense is going to fail them. And I'm looking for a big game out of Burrow and Mixon, and Cincinnati is just going to win in a shootout. So I'm going with Cincy here, and the final score is going to be 42-37.
Like I said, these are two young quarterbacks. And like I said, it's great that they're both playing great right now or playing well enough. But like I said, there is a lot of flaws on the Chargers defense. And Brandon Staley is a defensive guy. He's a good name. He's obviously done a good job. But, you know, this Charger defense is one of the worst in football. And, you know, you just can't deny that. It's pathetic. You can't be a defensive guy and your defense isn't playing well. And that's a, you know, he's the head coach and he has to take full responsibility. So, like I said, and that's hurting them because if this team's going to make the playoffs, this is a must win. They cannot lose it. They cannot afford to lose this game because Cincinnati's one of those teams that if the Chargers were to win, this could be potentially another time. These two teams could meet again, potentially in the wild card round. So, like I said, critical matchup. And like I said, for the Bengals, things are really been going well lately. Joe Mixon is running the ball very well. He is 6th in the league in rushing right now. And obviously, this team is really getting their act together here. Coming off a major win. Like I said, they don't want to have this as a letdown game after a big win against Pittsburgh last week. Like you said, I mean, really, if you're telling me that means 5 of their last 7 has been at home. So, yeah, Bengals have the advantage. That means the Ravens have to come here, and that will obviously be a very critical matchup in a few more weeks when it comes to who wins this division and potentially gets the 1 seed. Because the AFC is so, so tight, anything can happen here from here on out. So, but like I said, I think this is going to be a battle. It's going to be a war. Both offenses are going to go up and down on these defenses. But like I said, I'm going to go with the home team as well. I think the Bengals find a way here. It's going to be too close for comfort. Burrow gets the better of Herbert in their first meeting together. And hopefully of many. Hopefully, you know, I'm not saying this will be Brady versus Peyton, but it has that potential to be that way for the next 10 years at least. If these two guys stay healthy and relevant. So I'm going to go with the Bengals here and the final score 37-34. All right. Okay, I didn't do my intriguing matchup, but this is my intriguing matchup, the Monday Nighter. And why not? The Monday Night matchup. We all talk about how good the Buffalo Bills were when the season began. This was the team to beat in the AFC. Josh Allen was going to be the league MVP. You know, Sean McDermott was going to be coach of the year and everything was going to be good. Well, I think Belichick took offense of that because all of a sudden the Patriots are back. They have won their last 6, most of them by ass whipping, by whipping the team's ass. And guess what? They're leading the AFC East. Like I said, Belichick knows the Buffalo Bills. He knows Josh Allen. He's beaten Josh Allen before. This is a critical matchup for the Bills. If the Bills are a true contender in the AFC, this is a must win. They've been kind of sleepwalking over the last several weeks. The Patriots are not letting off of the gas. If they see a possibility to make history, it's very, very possible. Big matchup here tomorrow night. AFC East lead on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the Patriots are in first for now, but whoever wins this game will be in first. So, you know, we'll have to obviously see who gets the victory. But the Patriots are coming in hot. They're on a 6-game winning streak. And in those 6 games, the average score would be 35-11. So they haven't just been winning games. They've been blowing teams out. And their defense has been playing as probably the best defense in the NFL as of late. They haven't allowed a single point in the second half of any of their last 3 games. So, you know, the defense has been coming up huge. Mac Jones has been playing well. And they're on fire right now. The Bills, on the other hand, like you said, they started off the season looking like a team to beat, and they've fallen off, and they just haven't been looking a lot good. Even last week against the Saints on Thanksgiving, people were trying to say that the Bills are back. I wasn't all that impressed with them, man. Their offensive line hasn't been very good this year, and they're going up against the tough Patriots defense, and Matthew Judon's been having a huge year. On top of that, Buffalo, Trey White is out for the year. Their top cornerback, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, that's obviously not good. But the fact of the matter is this, man. For the Bills, their offense needs to score points. When their offense scores points, they win games. In their 7 wins this year, the team has averaged 37 points in their four losses. They've averaged 17. So this to me is a matchup of Josh Allen versus that Patriots defense versus Bill Belichick. I think it's going to be a tight game, but man, you know, one thing that I've been saying basically since his rookie year, I've been saying this about Josh Allen, is that he comes up big in big moments and in big games. And this is a huge game for the Bills. It's obviously a home game. You know, I think Josh Allen's going to show up today. I think he's going to have a big game. So I'm going to go with the Bills here. And I'm going to put the final score at, I'm going to say, 33-30.
Well, like I said, this is a critical matchup for both teams, especially for the Bills, who still think they're a contender. Because if they don't win this game, they're not winning this division. And their chances of making the playoffs could also be a potentially up in the air, too. So, as close, as tight as this conference is. And obviously, when you look at New England and what they have done over the last month and a half, is unbelievable. They've won their last six games by an average of 24 points per game. And if you're thinking, keeping score, you know, they're blowing out contenders. They're not just blowing out nobodies and nothings. They're doing what they have to do. And like I said, Belichick, this is the best coaching he has done in New England. I'll be honest with you. This might be the best coaching he's ever done in New England. And that's saying something. But obviously, you know, this team is just built right now. They're built. This defense is the best in football. Judon is doing his thing. He could be a defensive player of the year contender. You know, Jackson, all those guys. They're doing what they have to do right now. And Mac Jones, like I said, he's mostly a game manager, but he's done. But he's not making stupid mistakes. Obviously, Josh McDaniels is obviously taking full control. Like I said, for Josh McDaniels, he's the teacher and he's the student. It's not like the other way around. Josh McDaniels is getting the full control of this offense, and they're an offense that's putting up points and doing their things as well. When you look at the Bills, like I said, you know, this team, when they beat the Chiefs earlier this year, I really thought that was they were going to take off, but that hasn't been the case. And they really just look like a team that's just there. They're still there, but they're not what I think. And this is a game where if they fall behind early, and I have a feeling they will, that's it. I think the Patriots are going to be in control here. And it's not that Mac Jones does anything impressive. I don't think he does. But I just think that when you look at all the situations, the Patriots are going to take over by the fourth quarter. And I just don't like the Bills' chances. I really don't. So, New England, hey, this is your back. You win, you take this division lead for good, potentially. So, the Patriots win. Even though the Bills are favorite, they're at home. Patriots find a way. And the final score, 34-24. All right, we go to the final matchup, like always, but this is a critical one and a change in situation here for the Eagles. For the Eagles, I have to be careful because last week I got too jolly and excited, and it cost me at the end. It bit me in my ass, and unfortunately, I'm afraid of this matchup because not only are they going out there again at MetLife against a Jets team that, even though they're bad, they could surprise. But no Jalen Hurts today. He has been ruled out, and maybe rightfully so. Gardner Minshew will make his Eagles debut today. And I just read his numbers. I was just looking at the beginning here. I think we might actually be okay, even if without him, without Hurts today. But obviously, you know, we'll see what happens. They're going against Zach Wilson, the rookie. Big matchup here. Critical matchup going into your bye, the last bye next week. The Eagles need to get going because it's not, you know, even though they have an easy schedule, it's not easy when you have to play their final four games against all division rivals. So critical matchup here today so they can get their chance to make a run later on. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's Minshew Mania today in Philly, man. We'll see what he does. You know, I was just saw a little thing online here that he showed up to the stadium dressed like freaking Tom Cruise in Top Gun, you know. So, and he kind of looks like Goose from Top Gun with that mustache. But, you know, he's obviously a different type of quarterback than Jalen Hurts. Obviously, Hurts is a running quarterback, whereas Minshew is, I wouldn't say, a pocket passer. He's just kind of, but he's a much better from the pocket than Hurts is at the moment anyway. So it's what's interesting about that is just to see what the Eagles do on offense with a different type of quarterback. And obviously the offense is going to be different. We're not going to be running design quarterback runs and all that. But hopefully the Eagles stick with the running game in general and they don't start passing the ball 90% of the plays like they were trying to do earlier in the year. But we'll see. We'll see. Really, this is a game that if the Eagles just stick with the running game and let the offensive line dominate and take a couple shots deep, you know, play it safe with the ball, but every once in a while take a deep shot, let the defense dominate like they should today, this should be an easy win for the Eagles. But, you know, I'm just a little bit worried about the style of offense the Eagles are going to run. I'm worried that they're going to go back to passing the ball a lot. But I'm hoping for the best, man. I'm hoping that they stick with the run here. So I'm going to pick the Eagles to win in the blowout, and I'm going to predict Miles Sanders is going to run for 150 yards. But, I'm hoping for the best in terms of the way Sirianni called this game. So Eagles with the victory here. Final score is going to be, I'm going to say, 31-20.
You want to know something? The Eagles actually lead the league in rushing, and they don't have a single player with a 100-rushing-yard day at all. I don't know how the hell you can do that in this league, where you can run the ball better than anybody, but not dominate and put up numbers like 120 or 150. Like, that's hard to do. But I think that Sirianni's, I mean, we can't say that he's a dummy. He's not no dummy. Sirianni's starting to become much smarter. He's becoming what this Eagles offense is. They're going to run the ball. I think they're still going to run the ball. But obviously, when it comes to Minshew, obviously he is a better pocket guy than Hurts. He has 30 in his career. He has 37 touchdown passes to only 11 interceptions. So I was surprised when I saw that number. I mean, he did that in Jacksonville? Really? Wow. Maybe he was a 6th-round pick. So, like I said, I mean, Minshew's not a bad quarterback when you look at the history and the numbers. But obviously, if I'm relying myself to make the run, then this is a very critical matchup. And like I said, the Eagles know that this is a critical matchup. Of course, they're playing the Jets. Since their first matchup, I think, in either 72 or 73, the Eagles have never lost to the Jets in 11 meetings. Not once in the regular season. So, like I said, does that streak continue? I say probably, but I'm not going to just jump into conclusion. I think that it should be interesting, but like I said, Zach Wilson is a quarterback that, of all the rookies, he plays like a straight rookie. He has the most turnovers of all rookie quarterbacks, even though he's missed several games. But obviously, we'll see what happens here today. But like I said, we'll see. Well, like I said, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, no Jordan Howard, which I'm a little nervous about, but like I said, we'll see what happens here. So, like I said, big matchup here. Oh, the Jets made a great start. Got a great start. Great start field position. But I'm still going to go with the Eagles here. I think the Eagles will take full control here. They'll get in control and they'll win. Final score 27-10. I hope. I'm you know, hoping and praying.
Yeah, man. Well, if Eagles lose, it's just the season's over. So
yeah, because it's just too. Because even though the playoffs is what it is, it's still you can't. It's just too many people, too many. You know, and like I said, if you're relying on Minnesota and San Francisco, you're not gonna win those that tiebreaker. The NFC South is not going to be in control anymore. So we'll see what happens. Big, like I said, we're watching the game. The game is on, and we'll see what happens here. So that's all we have. We'll look back on this game and other things, like we always do on the look back Wednesday. Have a good game. Have a good day, folks. Enjoy the games.